Welcome to Bruce Davis Ministries here on Praise 107.9. You can reach Dr. Bruce anytime at 904-762-3191. That's 762-3191. And now, Dr. Bruce here on Praise 107.9.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Bruce Davis Ministry. My name is Dr. Bruce Davis, and I'm so glad that you are listening to this broadcast. And I want to say to all the fathers, Happy Father's Day. That's right. This is a Father's Day message. And I want to make sure I talk to all the fathers, because this word is for the men, for the fathers out there. That's right. That's right. And we want to be reading from Genesis chapter 39, if you have your Bibles. Yes, Genesis chapter 39. Fathers, I want you to listen to this real good. Yes, I know you done had a good time, but I still want you to listen to this. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. And we're going to talk about a man today who had a good character. He had a great character. And I want to say to the men, listen, it's not what you say. You got your character, what matters the most. You got to have a good character. Because there's so much temptation out there for men. There's so much temptation out there for fathers. And you got to say no. You got to let the devil know, I'm going to do what's right. I want to please God. So this is what we're going to talk about. A man by the name of Joseph. Oh, y'all know Joseph. You done heard it preached many times. Joseph, who daddy gave him a coat of many colors. He was a son of Jacob. And he had a dream that all his family was going to bow down to him. And his brothers got mad and said, who do you think you are? He said he was his mother and daddy. They was going to bow down to him. So they got mad with Joseph, and they threw him in a pit. His brothers got mad at him, and they lied to his father. I said an animal killed him. And Joseph was sold to he went down to Egypt. He was sold by Ishmael, man. He was sold by his brothers to an Ishmaelite band, and they took him down to Egypt. And this way he was. He was found himself in a man by the name of Potiphar house. And this way we're going to start. And Potiphar had a wife that had her eyes on Joseph. Oh, she wanted Joseph. She didn't care. She was married or not. She wanted Joseph. But Joseph said, no, sir. I love God too much. So this way we are. And we talk about character today, Father. So listen at this real good. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7 through 21. Now we're going to read verse by verse. And it says, after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Now we see Joseph, temptation right there. Now he went working for Potiphar, and now in Potiphar's house, now temptation. Yes, there was a temptation there. So Joseph was like, you know, hey, look at him. Now this him, that was his first temptation. It says the hero of this narrative is about to be tempted. Those qualities that enable him to do well make him attractive to his master wife. It is not unusual for a hero to be tempted. And similar accounts exist in the literature of Egypt and throughout history. Joseph has not yet risen to be the famous leader. He is simply a handsome, capable servant at this point. It is tempting to assign motives to Potiphar's wife for her proposal to Joseph. Is she lonely, neglected, desirous of power, or seeking revenge for something her husband has done or not done? Her statement to Joseph is in the form of a command. Regardless of her motive, she is violating her marriage commitment and jeopardizing Joseph's life in the process. And verse number 8 says, but he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my cause. Now, look what happened with Joseph. Joseph told Potiphar's wife, he said, no, no, I'm not going there. He said, no way. Okay. And man, listen at that. That's what we need to do. You need to run. Say no. Say no to wrong, because there's always temptation out there. I mean, you know, the devil always know how to set you up. I'm talking to the men. This is his Father's Day. I'm going there. I'm talking about it. That's right. That's right. That beautiful woman out there. That woman, and you know you married. You got to say no. Oh, I know some of the men listen to me. Now, I know you listening real good. Now, listen, that's right. Temptation out there. There's always somebody out there trying to get you to do wrong. But you see what Joseph, it says, but he refused. And he told her, he said, with me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in this house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted in my care. Joseph said, listen, your husband put me in charge of everything. He said, now I'm not going there. So he refused. It says, Joseph responds to her command is stated very succinctly. He refuses. Sexual immorality is often rampant among slaves who do not have the benefit of marriage. It is therefore very likely that Joseph has been challenged in this type of temptation frequently. One preacher advises couples whom he is marrying on how to resist such temptation. He suggests that they probably will be tempted at some time in the future, and that they should have a predetermined plan in mind that can put into operation to resist the temptation successfully. It is very possible that previous comments or action by Potiphar's wife has already prepared Joseph for such a situation. Joseph's first line of defense is to affirm that his submission to her would break the trust that her master has placed in him. Joseph states that his master trusts him so completely that he is not concerned with what happens in the house. The Hebrew behind the phrase concern himself speaks to knowledge and awareness. Joseph realized, he said, you know what, Potiphar's wife, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's wrong. Listen to him. Joseph had a good character. And I'm talking to the father, this Father's Day message. What kind of character do you have? That's my question to you this morning, fathers. What kind of question this afternoon? What kind of character do you have? Do you just fall for anything and everything? No. You got to say no. It's wrong. You got to say no. It ain't going to be easy, but Joseph is a good example. He ran away. Sometimes you got to run. Don't stand there and try to think you're Superman. Don't stand there and think that you can handle things yourself. No, you got to do what you got to go. It says in verse number 9, say, no one is greater in this house than I am. Joseph was telling Potiphar's wife. He said, my master has withheld nothing from me except you. He told her, he said, listen, your husband trusted me over everything in this house, and I will not, he said, and accept you. He said, and I will not do that. He says, because you are his wife. In other words, he was telling Potiphar's wife, listen, no, I'm not going to do that. You want me to do wrong. I'm not going to do that. But see, Joseph had a good character. He had a good character. He said, no. Yeah, he said, no, I'm not going there. Okay, and let's see what happened. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin what against God? Listen to what he said. See, when you do stuff wrong like that, you sin against God. See, and he didn't want to do that. Joseph said, no, I love God more. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sin against God. Isn't that something? We're talking about character today. Joseph had a good character. What kind of character do you have? I'm talking to the men, Father's Day. Joseph continued his resistance by putting the situation into a proper perspective as it relates to his master. His master's wife and God, as stated above, it will be almost 450 years before God will proclaim the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. It is the seventh commandment that will forbid adultery. It is remarkable that Joseph has a sense of morality that many today seem not to have achieved. It says, the source of Joseph's concepts about God and holiness are unknown. His grandfather Isaac is still living at the age of 168. When Joseph is sold by his brothers, Isaac lives to be 180. Joseph, therefore, may have been taught about God and righteousness by both his father and his grandfather. The sin of adultery by Reuben, Joseph's oldest brother, has made Joseph aware of the devastation that such sin can cause in a family. It is interesting to see that the biblical author puts the sexual sin of Judah, one of Joseph's brothers, in close proximity to the narratives of Joseph's temptation. Now, let's go a little deeper. Now, let's talk about it. When you have sex and you married, they call that adultery. Well, I'm getting into somebody's business this moment. That's right. It's adultery. Now, when you have sex and you're not married, it's called fornication, and God condemned both. Okay, so let's get that straight. So when you do wrong, you mess up. You God is not pleased with that. So if you're doing it, you need to stop. It says, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day, He refused to go to bed with her on even with her. Now, Joseph decided to say, no, I'm not going to go there. Oh, I'm talking to the men. This Father's Day message. I'm talking directly to the men. That's right. To the fathers. That's right. He refused. Now, she kept on tempting him every day. She was trying to get him. She was trying her best. It says, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused. Joseph still said, no, I'm not going to do it. He refused not to do it. It says, the temptation for Joseph became a matter of willpower. Potiphar's wife seemed determined to win this war, and she propositioned Joseph on a daily basis. Now, you know that was hard for Joseph. That's hard for any man, you know, to keep running every day. But Joseph did, and we're talking about character. See, it's not what you do when you're in front of people. It's what you do behind closed doors. You know, if you know it's wrong, you say, I ain't going to do it. It said, Joseph's response is to become resolute in righteousness. He ignores his pleading, and he is careful not to even be with her. Many centuries later, Solomon would warn about the adulteress and say that a young man should keep far from her. In verse 11 say, one day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servant was inside. Uh-oh. Now, this is the greatest temptation right here. He goes into the master house, and nobody there. Oh, we talking about character. See, God see everything. He goes in there, okay, and nobody was there. Nobody but Potiphar's wife was there. So there's just him and Joseph and Potiphar's wife, 101, in the house. Everybody gone, and she's trying to get him. So let's see what happened. It says, how does Joseph end up alone with Potiphar's wife, giving Joseph practice to refusing to be with her? Joseph must have a responsibility in the house that cannot be delegated to others. Thus, it is necessary for him to risk entering his master house. It is also possible that others are present when he enters, but then they leave. The intent here is to show how Joseph becomes the target of false accusation that will be made in spite of his precaution. Now, Joseph in a situation now. He's in Potiphar's house, and his wife there, and nobody there but them, and he's in there, and he knows she want him, and he's trying to get away from her, and everything. He done told her no. So guess what she finna do now? Oh, she finna lie on him now. How many know that? How many know sometimes folk will lie on you? You know, when they can't have their way, and you know, they would talk about you, lie on you, say anything they can. Oh, I know I'm right. I'm talking from experience. That's right. When he said no, he wasn't going to do it. Oh, yeah. Now let's see what happened. It says, number 12 says, she caught him by his cloak. Uh-oh. Now she's putting her hands on him. She caught him by his cloak. I'm talking to fathers, to all the fathers out there listening, the men. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand. And what did he do? He ran out of the house. Men, I'm telling you to run. Sometimes you got to run. Don't mess around. Run. A father's run. Men, run. Don't you try to stay there. And, oh, yeah. You run. You get up out of there. Don't you hang around. You run. Do like Joseph. That's the best advice I can give you. Run. Because your flesh won't let you. If you don't, you're going to be in trouble. So run. Get away from it. You know it's wrong. It says, Potiphar's wife not only seizes the opportunity, she also seizes Joseph's clothing to try to force him to submit to her in her advances. Now, listen at that. She tried to make the man. She wanted him so bad, she tried to make him. It says, it is sometimes said that the best defense against the type of temptation is to use your two legs and run away. Listen at that. Men, I'm encouraging you to run. Don't sit there, especially if a pretty woman coming at you and she coming at you, and you know you ain't strong enough to get, you better run. Say, I got to go. She wondering why you're running from her. She's speaking to you. Oh, heck. And you look, hey, I got to go. How you doing? I got to go. Why? Because that's the best thing. Well, you see what Joseph did to him. And Joseph was a man of God, and God was with him. But what did Joseph do? He ran away. And that is what Joseph does. The Apostle Paul said the same thing 2,000 years later when he writes that a person should flee from sexual immorality. Get away from it. Run. Paul also suggests alternatives. Pursue instead such things as righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Now, let's see what happened after he ran and left his. But what happened is she got his clothes. She caught onto his cloak. She caught onto his clothes. So now she got his clothes, and he forgot. And when he ran out, now she finished, wasn't allowing him. Now she finished, sure enough, try to punish him because he didn't do what she wanted him to do. Let's see what happened. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, listen to that. Joseph's triumph is short-lived, for he makes the mistake of leaving a part of his apparel behind. He left his clothes. It says, the schemes of Potiphar's wife has been frustrated because she quickly cooks up a plan to turn the situation to seek revenge. Now she's mad with him because she couldn't have her way. She's mad with him because he wouldn't yield. He wouldn't submit to her. He wouldn't do that because Joseph wouldn't do wrong. Now she's mad, and now she wants revenge. She wants to punish him now. Let's see what happened. The evidence that is in her hand will be the proof for the charges that are forming in her mind. Now she's thinking in her mind, I'm gonna show him something. I'm gonna pay him back. I'm gonna show him who I am. I am who she are. So it says right here, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them. Now look at her. Now she lying on the man. Now she making up a false accusation. Anybody been lied on? Any men out there been lied on? Oh yeah, I know you listen to me now. Oh yeah. You're going to be lied on. Sometimes they can't get you. One way they'll try to get you another one. It says, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. Now listen to the line. She's telling a fib. Oh, yeah. No. But see, Joseph, he done ran. He gone. She got his clothes. He said, okay, I'm gone. I'm out of here. But now she's trying to set him up. She's trying to mess him up now. It says, the devious woman immediately launches her plan for revenge. Yes, I'm talking, it's Father's Day, so this message for the fathers and for the men in general. Her desire for Joseph becomes a fury against him. The plan needs an audience, so she assembles people to serve as witnesses, and she provides a false account on how the garment has come to be in her hands. In addition, the attack on Joseph is subtly stated so as to refer to him simply as this Hebrew, thus exploiting the difference between Joseph and the others. Oh, now she's mad. Now she done called a servant. Now she finna tell everybody, oh, what he did. She lying, though. It's a lie. But they don't know it. And so she telling it. And Joseph knows it's a lie. And God's seeing, he know it. He looking right at her. It says, when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Now listen at that. Now she really want to punish him now. It said, Miss Potiphar also changes the order of the events, for her scream actually took place after Joseph had already made his escape from her presence. Now listen, after Joseph done ran out the house, he long gone now, but she got his cloak. Now all of a sudden she screamed. Uh-huh, she really setting him up. The man gone, so she lying all the time on the man. It says, thus we have her official revision of the fight. The scenario that she presents sounds very reasonable, and the servants know that it is in their best interest to support the wife of their master. They know they had to listen to her. They had to listen what she said. It says, verse 16, say, and she kept his cloak, beside her until the master came home. Oh, she was holding to that cloak. She said, you know what? I'm going to show him something. She said, I'm going to show him something. It says the last phrase is interesting in the way it refers to Potiphar. The first part of this verse gives what Potiphar's wife does, but the arrival of Potiphar to his home centers on Joseph's relationship to Potiphar. His master, in the meantime, she guarantees that the evidence will be available by keeping it with her until Potiphar arrives. Now, she still holding on Joseph's clothing. She still got a part of his clothes. She's going to hold on to that till her husband come home because she really want to punish Joseph, even though she lying on him. But having no folk will believe a lie. They'll believe stuff and people lying on you. Then you trying to tell them the truth. But we see right here, it says, verse 17, say, then she told him the story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. The carefully contrived scheme is repeated by using the imagery Potiphar's wife has already devised. First, the fact that Joseph is a Hebrew is emphasized. Second, she subtly puts the blame on Potiphar for bringing such a person into her household. Third, she indicates how she is innocent party because Joseph came to her to make the advances. See, she just lied to her husband. She lied on Joseph to her husband, but you know, he's gonna believe, but he know his wife too. But he believe in everything she say. It says finally, she described Joseph's action in words that are used to provide a smear against him for his attitude toward her. This is new element in the fabricated account. The word given as a make sport can carry the idea of laugh, but in this context, it means to laugh at someone with scorn, or it may be that she is insulted by his action more than words. Number 18, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She lied to her husband, talking about Joseph. And so the imagery seen is described in the same way it is given in this to the servant. She tells how she uses one of the defensive devices that people can use in such situation. A loud voice. This is giving having had the desired effects. Joseph fled from the scene. At this point, the offended housewife rests her case. Now she done told her master, oh, you brought this man in here and he did this and he did that. See, I got his clothes. So, you know, hey he believe in it. That's his wife. So, you know, he going to do that. It says, verse 19, say, and when his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burnt with anger. Now, Potiphar, he's mad now. Oh, he's hot. He's 38. Oh, yeah. You done did this to my wife. Oh, yeah. You finna pay. I done trusted you with everything. And she lied the whole time. The whole time. A scheme. But see, how many know the devil is busy? The enemy is busy. He always trying to accuse other brothers. He always trying. It's the spirit in folk that call them to act like that. It's the spirits in them that's trying to, evil spirit that's trying to get you to mess you up. That's what we're dealing with. It says the natural flow of the words indicates that Potiphar believes his wife. We don't know if Joseph had an opportunity to give his version of what happened. The circumstances demand that Joseph be punished. Thus, Potiphar became angry. It is also possible that Potiphar realized that he had lost a very responsible servant, and he may have to resume the supervision of his affairs personally. Number 20 say, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. Listen at that. The place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, you see, the fact that Joseph's master only puts Joseph in a prison has caused some to think that Joseph is able to give his version of what happened. The treatment that he received is harsh, but it could be worse. The personal regard that Potiphar has for Joseph may temper the punishment. One ancient source indicates that the laws of Egypt demand 1,000 blows for an attempt at adultery, and the punishment for rape is even more severe. Psalms 105 and 18 states that Joseph's feet and neck are shackled in some way. Joseph later described his situation as being put in the dungeon. It also seems that this prison is connected with the captains of God, where political prisoners are confined. How many know sometimes folk will do you wrong, but how many know God was with Joseph? God was with Joseph, and that's encouraging enough. Even though people lie on you, even though they talk about you and say all kinds of things about you and against you, long as you know that God knows, you know, it's to a point where you got to, I'm talking to the men, fathers, you got to know that long as you know you didn't do it, and they lying on you, you know what? Just let God fight your battle. How many know God will fight your battle? And right to verse 21, it says the Lord was with him. Listen at that. The same words are used in Genesis when Joseph is being sold to Potiphar. The emphasis is that God is always present. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, echoes the same thought in Acts. The genuine believer is always comforted by the fact that the Lord is present in the pleasures or pains of life and death. Oh, it's so good to know that God is present. Oh, when people do you wrong, when they lie on you, when they talk about you, when they say all manner of evil against you because you said no, all because Joseph decided to say no. And after all he did, but even in the midst of that prison, God used Joseph. God used Joseph to interpret a dream. And he told the man everything was going to happen and it happened. And he said, now remember me when you go to Pharaoh now. And the man forgot about him until something happened. Then he told him, there's a man named Joseph, I remember. And when they got him and brought him out of there, and Joseph went from the pit to the palace. Joseph was second in command. How many know God will use your mess to make a message? God will use your situation. He'll turn it around. God will use what folk lying on you. He'll use your haters to be a blessing. And you have to come and pray for them. So don't worry about your enemies. I'm talking to the Father's Day. Don't worry about how people treat you. Don't worry about when they lie. When you know your thing, and I want to say this to all the men. I want to say this to all the fathers. I don't care. You know, you're listening, but I want to say this shit. Make sure your main goal is to please God. That's all that matters. Please God. Do what's right. Do the right thing. Your character. Don't worry about that. See, because it's not about your gift, because your gift will get you there, but only your character will keep you. So I want you to encourage them, the men. Just focus on pleasing God. But you see what happened to Joseph? But God raised him up to be a mighty man of God. Oh, I come to tell somebody that I'm so glad that, you know, God is. And see, I know God is with me. See, that was encouraged me, too, in the midst of going through when people do you wrong and they treat you wrong and whatever. I know one thing about it, that God is with me. And God said, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. He says, better for a millstone to be put around your neck and cast in the sea to mess with one of my little ones. And I hope I said something to the fathers, and I hope, pray that God allow you to see many more Father's Day. And I thank God for you, Ben. I hope I said something to help you and encourage you. And I want you to be blessed. Yes, remember, praise God. Remember, every Sunday from 6:30 to 7 o'clock, yours truly, Dr. Bruce Davis, will be on the air. And I just want you to pray for me. If you're not saved, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life. And I want you, at the end of the broadcast, I want you to call me. The announcer is going to leave a phone number, and you call me, and I want to hear from you. You need prayer, whatever you want God to do for me, just call me, and I want to pray for you. All right, if you need me to come to your church and preach or come to your church, just call me, 904-762-3191. Yes, and I thank God for you, and I love you, and I appreciate you. Yes, sir. You keep me up in your prayers. Now, when you pray, say, God bless Dr. Bruce Davis. Bless Bruce Davis' ministry. Bless him, Lord. And I thank you for your prayers, and I love you. And we hope we say something to encourage you, and my friend. And I want you to know that you're too blessed to be stressed. Remember, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And I get excited. I get happy. Why? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged and pray for me. Call me. I want to hear from you. I want you to hear from you. I want to know. And let me know. I want to pray for you. Pray for me. That's right. And I thank God for you. Happy Father's Day. And I pray that you have many, many more. And may God bless you. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for Bruce Davis Ministries here on Praise 107.9. Join us again next week. And if you'd like to reach Dr. Bruce, you can call him anytime at 904-762-3191. That's 762-3191. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next week for Bruce Davis Ministries.